Today's scripture reading is from Joshua chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. I'm using the New International Version of the Bible. Joshua chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Joshua told the people, "Concentrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take the Ark of the Covenant and pass it on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests to carry out the Ark of the Covenant." And they reached the edge of the Jordan water. "Go ahead in the river and stand in the river." May God add his blessings to today's scripture.
Amen. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord God, as we come here today, I pray that you would challenge us to think about what are the obstacles in our life to changing. And Father, would you help us and teach us how to cross those difficult rivers in our life? Father, I pray that you would just open the eyes of our hearts today, that we may truly see you. That for whatever reason people have come here today, may you just bring them all to the same place, right before your feet. That is willing children, that we may listen to what you have to say to us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, it's funny. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking, like, I still don't want to go to school. And I'm like, wait, I'm out of school, you know? Yeah, that you're going to work. You know, the first step is the hardest, isn't it? And also, another step that's very hard is the last step. And I was thinking about this, reminiscing this week. I don't know if some of you had the upbringing where you had to learn a musical instrument and you had to prepare for a performance or a concert. And you spend hours upon hours getting ready. And, you know, there's this point, I don't know if you've, I learned a lot of musical instruments. At one point, I was learning like four instruments in a week. Three. And it was just brutal. I was very resentful about it. But eventually, I grew to like music. But there's this point, I remember when I'm learning the music, you know, and I'm trying to prepare it, and I'm memorizing it. And it's not even your brain anymore. It's just like it's memorized in your fingers, you know? And you know this inside, outside, you know, you're going to brush your teeth and the thing is in your head, you can't help singing it, you know, you're just, it's there all the time. But when the performance comes up, you black out. You're like, I can't do this. You know, maybe you've done sports, you spend all your time training, and then it comes to that game day. And this is when you have to step up. And there's this kind of sense of hesitation. Or, you know, students, have you had that, you know you should have studied, but you didn't, so you stayed up all night long studying, and you've been studying and studying, and surely you must know this, you know, back and forth. But then once you get right down to that desk and you're about to write, you're like, there's this fear that overtakes you. You know, that last step is very hard, isn't it? It's often at that last step where we can start to question things. You know, did I do enough? Did I study enough? Should I have prepared more? Do I really need to go through this? Will I benefit from going through with this? And you know, I'd like to say that it just stops there in our childhood, but doesn't it go forward in all of our life changes? Making a major investment, making a major career change, right before entering any great change, there's this great sense of anxiety. And why is that? Because the future is risky. Any change is risky. Just being Asian American, many of us here, you know, we are the products of people, or maybe it was your generation, but we're products of people who took big risks. You know, this whole country is based on people who took a big risk to start life in a new country. And I think of my parents when they immigrated from Korea as missionaries. They were so poor. And I remember my mom was telling me the second day that they immigrated, they sat, they basically were sponsored as missionaries. And as they came, they ended up in rural Alberta where there's nothing there. And there was just a bunch of farmers, lots of cows and mountains. And basically they sat by the river and my mom was telling me how she cried because she didn't know any English. She had no money to go back home. And she thought, oh, wow, we're really doing this. And there was all this fear. And the risk of change is so difficult. But here we start the book of Joshua as I'm continuing from last week. This was also a time of change for the people of Israel. And you know, last week I talked about, on the face of this great change, Joshua encouraged them and said, these are the three things that we need to have to face the change that is ahead of us. The first thing was faith. The second thing was the Word of God. And the third thing was to remember that His presence is with us. And maybe when I was preaching this or reading this from Joshua last week, some people were saying, well, yeah, that's kind of obvious, isn't it? Or some of us might have been said, well, easier said than done, isn't it? Surely, you can say faith, the Word, His presence. But the reality is, there are many obstacles. And today, I want to look at those obstacles. You know, I want to acknowledge that I, as your fellow brother in Christ, not as some great pastor, but as your fellow brother in Christ, I too struggle with change. Change is not an easy thing. You know, when God enters into our lives, He gives us great promises. He tells us He has wonderful plans for us. But the thing is, it can be frightening. Sometimes it's risky, you know, and sometimes it's terrifying. Sometimes it's annoying. Sometimes it's burdensome. And today I want to look at some of those obstacles that prevent us from moving forward in our Christian lives. You know, God longs for all of us to be children of God that are deeper in love with Him more and more every day. To not simply be grade one before God all the time, but He's asking us to graduate to the higher levels. And as we look at this journey of Israel, of the Israelites, we find these three key obstacles, as I was observing. And the first one is before Joshua took leadership. It was in the book of Numbers. In Numbers 13, Moses sends out 12 scouts. And basically, God has kind of shown them, this is the promised land. It's called Canaan. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a wonderful land. And so the scouts went off. And I'm sure the scouts were very excited about it. You know, like, wow, milk and honey, that sounds really good. All this wandering the desert, can't wait. And so they go there, and guess what happens? They see these giants in the land, and they're terrified. After all those years of waiting and waiting, they see the promised land. But once they get right to the edge of the promised land, they see it, they see the obstacle, and they feel the fear. And this is what I want to talk about, the first point that's an obstacle to the promised land. And the first point I want to say is that we overestimate the challenge and we underestimate God. Let me repeat that again. We overestimate the challenge and we underestimate God. You see, they had looked at those giants. They had looked at the obstacles and they said, this is too big. This is too scary. And you see, this is not the first time the Israelites have done this. When God first called the Israelites out of Egypt, they were excited. Finally, we're free from our masters. But what happened? Bam. Moses, there's a sea in front of us. Did anyone tell you? And they began to look at the sea more than they did at God. And many grumbled. And many thought that Moses had led them out to die. And many had seen the giants in the promised land, and they thought, God is sending us out to the slaughter. And once again, here we are in Joshua chapter 3, standing before a Jordan River. Imagine how they're thinking, God, you keep teasing us. You keep leading us to these obstacles. And in our own Christian lives, have we thought about that? We've quickly forgotten about the past where God has delivered us. And when we come to the new obstacle, we freak out and we forget about everything that God has done in the past. You know, we forget about the great things that God has done
And that's why the Psalms are so wonderful. Often, again and again, the Psalms are saying, remember the works of the Lord. Remember who God is. How can we be, you know, such a great church that God has called us to be if we are so small? How can I be a powerful Christian when God knows my failings and my insecurities? How can we do mission in this city when, you know, this city of D.C., there's so much bureaucracy in it, like even if we wanted to help it, we couldn't help it? How can we change when we have been the same for so long? How can those family members that I've been praying for so long change when they have continued to resist God? Surely God cannot work here. Yeah, he worked in the past, but not here. But I want to challenge you to think again about, let us not overestimate the challenge and underestimate God. Has there been an institution that is greater than God? I remember when I first came to the States, I was really worried about my work visa, and I'm very sympathetic with people who struggle with that. And, you know, am I going to get the sponsor? Are the papers going to go through? And I remember God saying to me, well, do you think that God is weaker than the INS or the USCIS? And I was like, well, I never said that, but you are saying that, aren't you? And I was like, I suppose I am. Is God weaker than the economy? Or is God weaker than the struggles that we're going through right now? Have we underestimated God and overestimated our challenge? And I want to challenge us to think again. If God has delivered us in the past, surely God can deliver us in the future. And so that's the first thing I want to talk about, the first obstacle. You know, overestimating the challenge, underestimating God. The second thing I want to talk about was this. It's about idealizing the past. And this happened in the journey of the Israelites throughout the wilderness. You know, sometimes we can get so wrapped up in the past, we forget about what the future can hold. You know, when the Israelites grew hungry in the wilderness, what was the first thing they thought? They thought about the past. They thought about how good the meals were when they were in Egypt. But they had forgotten one little point. You were slaves, by the way. It was a difficult life. You were burdened. You were oppressed. But what happened? Somehow, in their suffering of the present, they looked back and said, man, that time in Egypt was great, wasn't it? You know, those slave masters, they weren't so bad. Those meals were pretty good. And how often have we had this kind of push forward in Christ? And I've definitely had it this year, where God has pushed me forward. And I start thinking about, man, those were the days when. And you know, many of us have maybe even thought in our heads, man, I wish I was in high school again, when it was so easy. When I look at you high school kids, I think life was so easy. But think about it. When you're high school, I didn't like it. I don't want to do it again. You know, high school kids, I want you to know, it's a tough time. It's not easy. And I mean this in the most encouraging, edifying way. I'm glad I'm done, you know? College, yeah, it was great. But, you know, there's got to be an end to every day of pizza and late night ramen. You know, there's got to be an end, right? And as much as you idealize it, it wasn't doing you good. Same with our Christian lives. You know, the book of Hebrews gives that difficult promise that God disciplines those he loves. Those he calls his children, he disciplines. In fact, the sign of God's love to you is that you're being disciplined. If you're not being disciplined, then you're resisting your calling as children of God. And often we don't want to take up those challenges and spiritual disciplines that God's extending to us because we would rather stay comfortable in the way things were. But you know, if we'd stayed in the past, we would never have the divine bread from heaven, the divine manna from heaven. We would never have the miracle of the quail falling from the sky if we continued to stay in Egypt. And how nice if I could continue to deal with the math problems of grade 2. But if I had stayed there, I never would have grown and matured and been able to do the things that I can now. And you know, God is calling us as individuals, myself, you know, I preach this to myself first before anyone, that God is calling myself and all of us as a church to grow deeper with Christ, But to grow deeper with Christ means sometimes letting go of the past and the other ways that we relate to God and moving forward to be closer to Him. God is not saying that the past is not important. The past is important because how could we be here if we didn't have our experiences of the past? But God is asking us to not simply be how we were, but to move forward. You know, I had a really great talk with, one of our youth students. I'm not going to name him up on the podium, but, you know, it was just a really great conversation about, you know, just this eager desire to let go of the things that were in the past and to move forward to see what God is doing in his life. And, you know, I was really challenged and encouraged to think about, you know, that's my cry too. And, you know, talking to my parents in their age now, that's still the cry of their hearts, to still press on closer to God. And I hope that decades from now, I still have that same cry in my heart. God, more of you, deeper with you. Continue to change me and mold me. And so that was the second obstacle, idealizing the past. The third obstacle that I want to talk about was forgetting the presence of God. You know, Joshua told the people, he said this very inspirational thing. He said, consecrate yourselves, which means set yourself apart. He says, you know, set yourself apart for God and watch what God is going to do. For tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And this is a very important point that I'd like to come across when we come with obstacles. The presence of God. And why is this so important? And, you know, I mentioned this last week too, the presence of God. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we don't want to totally surrender and set ourselves apart for God. Why is that? Because we forget that God is here. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been to a church where they do an altar call, you know, and the altar call is very much like, it can be very emotional, the lights are dim, you know, if you've been to this kind of background, and like there's this great music going on, and it's very emotional, and people say like, you know, give your life to God. And some people come up very readily, but some people can't come up because there's a lot of fear. And a lot of that fear is, I think it's very understandable. It's like, I don't know, God is asking so much of me. And there is this kind of fear in us that if I give this great sacrifice to God, what do I have? Will God just run off and leave me empty? Because many people in the world will do that. How often have we had advertisements say, yeah, give us something, and it sounds too good to be true, and we know that what they're offering, they're going to hurt us or take advantage of us somehow. And so when God comes along and says, you know, I don't want just something, I want all of you, it's hard to give all of it, isn't it? Because we think somehow our sacrifice is so great, and we must do it on our own. But we forget that God is not asking for a sacrifice. When he asks us to surrender, he's saying, if you give up all of yourself, you will receive all of me. And isn't all of me, all of God, so much greater than all of me? Isn't all that God has to offer in his presence, in his power, in his grace, in his love, so much greater than what I can offer? You know, there's this powerful contemporary worship song where Matt Redman, this great songwriter, he says, what can I give as an offering that you have not already given? How could we offer unto God something that God has not given back? You know, Joshua in his bold confidence reminds people, watch what God will do. Yeah, set yourselves apart. You know, today, if you're going to cross this river, I want you to commit your lives to God. Consecrate your life. Set your life apart. Surrender your life to God. But more importantly, watch what God's going to do now. This is not about Joshua's abilities. This is not about his leadership technique. This is not about his good ideas. This is not about his vision statement. This is all about the power of God. You know, no matter how great a commander Joshua could be, he's still human and he can't cross the Jordan River by himself.
You know, I don't know what you're struggling with. Some of us come across like sickness in our families that is just so crippling. Some of us come up with just situations where like, God, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know how we're going to make it this time. You've been really good in the past, but this time is really serious. And Joshua says, in the most inopportune time when people are discouraged and afraid, he says, set yourself apart for God, for tomorrow the Lord will do great things. You see, CCC is not going to change and grow into the wonderful bride of Christ simply because you have a new pastor. You know, I would love to be, you know, the move of God, but I'm not. I would love to just come and have the best advice, but, you know, I'm trying my best, but, you know, it's not me. It's not Joshua. It's not even those key faithful members here. As much as, you know, I totally value and I really love all of you. Isn't it all about God? There is a point where we have to say it is God and God alone. And there is a wonderful peace that comes if we can trust that God is at work and not in ourselves. I'll share you this very unglamorous time of pastoring, where I came before God blubbering like a child, saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I remember it was at a retreat, and I felt so strongly that, God, you have to move in this retreat, because our church is so discouraged right now. They need to see something of you. And I just prayed, but I prayed out of panic. I prayed thinking, like, if I'm not praying enough, then God's not going to do this, you know? And I was praying desperately, desperately. And I heard this powerful response to my prayer. And this was the eloquent response God gave to me. He said, Sam, I'll take care of it. I was like, that's it? You know, that's all you're going to say, God? I'll take care of it. And that's all he said. But you know what? That burrowed so deep into my heart. I will take care of it. And you know, God did so much more than just the retreat. He showed me that my life is in his hands. There has never been a Red Sea. There has never been an obstacle. There has never been an institution. There's never been an economical crisis or a sickness that is greater than the power of God. And maybe things don't work out exactly how I liked it. Sometimes I've come to God with a little recipe. God, I would like to be delivered in this way. You know, if you could send out some flaming chariots, that'd be fantastic. You know, a little red carpet. You know, if you could, like, provide me with X number of dollars, that would be fantastic. You know, something falling from the sky would be really cool. But God says, you know, not on your terms, but on my terms. But let me tell you, I will do something. Because I am here with you. God is not simply doing this for me. He's doing it for himself. And this is a strange thing. But it's a powerful thing that we should find confidence in. You see, God is delivering his people, not just to help out his people, but he's doing it to also show that the God who leads through the water is here. Not just to tell the Israelites, but as we read later, in verse 10, he says, this is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Gigashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. You see, God is saying, you know, this is not just for the Israelites. This is for all the nations. That all the nations may know that God is good and that God delivers his people. This is not your reputation on the line, Sam. This is my reputation because you're my child. And we read in the prophets, he says, I will not let my glory go to another. You see, God wants to display the greatness of who he is to not just us, but to all the world. God wants to do miracles and great things among us, not just as a testimony for yourself, but for the testimony of this community around us and the testimony for the world. And why this thing about the water? Why does God keep talking about this water thing? You know, the Red Sea and the Jordan River. And then we even read in Revelations, why does the sea turn to glass? Well, we read in that in ancient mythology, the waters represented the chaos and the unknown. You see, God is saying, when you reach that chaos and that unknown,
God can turn that to glass. God can part that, and you can walk through. And this is a testimony for all who want to hear about who God is. What obstacles could stand? There is no sea that is too great that God cannot part it. There is no sea that will swallow us whole if we remember that God is here. How can we come into situations and lose heart if we know that the God who parts the chaos and the unknown is with us? He stands before us in the Ark of the Covenant, walking before us. And God is saying, you know, right here in Joshua, he says, get everyone to stand behind this ark. Everyone, let's all stand behind the presence of God and watch what God will do. And, you know, I want to share again, you know I sound young and I sound bold and I sound brash and idealistic. But this will always be true, no matter how old I am, that whatever obstacle we face, God is greater. You know, let's not overestimate the challenges that come before us. God is greater. And let us also believe that whatever the future holds, God holds a future of blessing for us. Even though there may be a season of difficulty and suffering, ultimately, God is leading us to a promised land that is beautiful, that is filled with blessing. But let us not stay in the past, but let us move forward. Let us not look back like Lot and stay in Sodom and Gomorrah, but let us move forward to what God has for us. And the last thing is, if God is with us, who could really be against us? Paul says, if God is for us, who could be against us? If God is here in this place as we worship right now, let us start to cultivate an excitement to think about what Red Sea could God part in our community? Right among us, what kind of huge obstacle have we thought of that God could just turn it to glass and make it beautiful? This is the God that we serve. This is our God. And as you move forward, I want to just challenge you to think about these three things. What obstacle has really been, you know, a burden in your life? You know, let's just lift that up to God and say, God, this is something I've really been struggling with. Lord, in your grace, touch my heart and give me the strength to overcome this obstacle. And I know firsthand, God has done this, he does this, and he will do this. Amen? Amen.